back to Heat Wave Sports.
All right, guys, welcome back. Heat Wave Sports. I'm Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com, and it's time to take a look at the NFL slate of games tomorrow. Lots of big-time impactful games, and I can say that every week after, like, week 8, right? I mean, they start to mean something. You take a look at some of these teams that they're almost in a must-win zone. They're almost at that point of the season where if you lose this game, you're tumbling out. You're done. That's it. So we'll take a look here. Let's start it off. Dallas at Detroit. The big news here, Matthew Stafford is out of this game. Jeff Driscoll will get the start here. The line has moved from 2.5, Dallas being the favorite, all the way up to 7.5 at BetMGM. Westgate at 7. Over at Circus Sports at 7. And you can catch a 6.5 at MGM Mirage, actually, so if you're looking for that. Dallas is one of those interesting teams. It's just a very difficult team to grab a hold of. They have to be able to run the ball today. But we've been saying that most of the season. Ezekiel Elliott has been a massive disappointment. No matter how you want to break it down or look at it from any angle, okay, be a Ezekiel Elliott defender, he has been a disappointment this year. It's just the way that it is. You look at what Detroit can do well, they have good cornerbacks. They're going to give fits to Amari Cooper. They're going to take him out of this game. And they're going to dare Ezekiel Elliott to run. That's what he's going to have to do here. This line skyrocketed up at -2.5. You got to like Dallas. Of course you got to like Dallas. Now it's at a touchdown or crosses the number. This is it becomes a dangerous game for Dallas. I mean, this is one of those games you circle on your calendar and say, yeah, look, that's got to be a win. It has to be a win here. Detroit, you know, they're feisty. They're scrappy. I just don't think they have what it takes. Look, they're playing with a backup quarterback. They're playing with a backup running back. They're just missing all kinds of pieces all over the field. And there are times where you just can't get past the injuries, and I think that this is a time for Detroit. You got to look at Dallas. You got to look at the win. Laying a touchdown on the road is always dangerous, but Dallas, I don't think that they're going to lose this game. By the way, the over-under, because of Stafford being out, dropped from 51.5 down to 46.5. Tampa Bay, New Orleans is an interesting game. Everybody expects the New Orleans Saints to just bounce back. They're just going to put their hats on and bounce back, right? They had an off game. They had an off day. I was sitting at the sports book and watching people just go, what has happened to the Saints? Oh, my goodness. It's no problem. They're bouncing back. Before they knew the lines, people in the sports book were already saying, I'm all over the Saints next week. And while that might work out, let's also remember, Alvin Kamara is not 100%. Marshawn Lattimore, one of, if not the best cornerback in the NFL, will miss this game. Drew Brees and company often struggle on the road. They often struggle in this building. And Jameis Winston, for all the bad that he is, and he's got a lot of bad attached to him, he's been throwing the ball all over the field. And he has been producing with this offense. Mike Evans is a matchup nightmare. You can't defend him. You add Godwin, you add, if Howard starts to give you something, or Jones is giving you a little something, Tampa Bay is explosive and dangerous. They're explosive and dangerous. Their defense is weak, but their defense stops the run. This is a game where it's got to be Michael Thomas taking over. Drew Brees and Michael Thomas have got to take over if you like New Orleans. And laying 5.5 on the road in an obvious bounce-back spot is a question that I get into and I go, when people have already made the bet before knowing what the line is going to be, it's a dangerous spot. The same thing can be said for Carolina. Now, Carolina was a yard away from beating Green Bay up in Green Bay, right? A yard away. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, just unstoppable. The guy just can't be stopped. Carolina's defense has shown some holes recently, but this is more about Atlanta. What Atlanta did last week was, I mean, flat out mind-blowing. I didn't see it coming. You didn't see it coming. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw Atlanta stepping up. And I'm not talking about winning the game. That happens. When you have Matt Ryan and Freeman and Julio and Ridley, that happens. But when you go out there and you play defense the way Atlanta played defense, that is impressive. That was the impressive part. Nobody saw that coming. You could not have imagined that Atlanta's defense would step up. Now, this is still a defense. Now, they did lose Hooper this week. It looks like Freeman's going to be out, although I don't know if that's a big loss, because he was absolutely talented, and Freeman has looked bad this year. Carolina's laying 4 at home. I don't know if I believe in Allen, but I certainly believe in Christian McCaffrey. And I'm starting to believe in this defense, despite them, you know, playing worse recently. I still don't think they're a good enough defense to win games. I am trying not to allow one game to influence me. So when we're talking about New Orleans and we're talking about Atlanta, I'm thinking to myself, what would I have done 8 days ago, 7 days ago, last Saturday? I would have been jumping all over New Orleans and Carolina in this spot. But you can't just dismiss the last game you saw either. I don't think Atlanta can play that good defensively. 99 times out of 100, I don't think they could do it. But they don't have to. Carolina's not an explosive offense. It is on the road. It's a hostile territory. Matt Ryan historically does not perform well outside. You got to lean Carolina. But, man, this is one of those tough, tough moments. How about Jacksonville and Indy? For a while this week, we didn't know anything about this game, because Jacoby Brissett was questionable. Nick Foles was questionable. We didn't know what was going to be named. And then Nick Foles was quickly named the starter. Nick Foles was named the starter, even though Gardner Minshew has been playing well. He did throw 4 interceptions last week. So he's named the starter. Indianapolis is a 3-point favorite, 3.5 or so. Now it's down to 2.5 with the news that Jacoby Brissett is going to try to play. The problem is, does anybody believe that Jacoby Brissett is 100%? Don't believe that, because he's not. And Nick Foles, I don't care who remembers the Super Bowl or whatnot, he cannot be in sync with a team that he just hasn't played on in months. Indianapolis is a really good team. They are really well coached. Jacksonville is probably more talented. This line is dead on where it needs to be, guys. You know, you look at what Jacksonville is going to want to do here. They're going to want to run Leonard Fournette. Success or not, they run it up the middle over and over and over. They run it up the middle consistently, whether he's having success or not. Indianapolis, though, their defensive strength might be defending that run right up the middle. They get stretched out and they give up, some passing yards. But this is going to be a game where if Jacoby Brissett wants to be the future of this team, and I think he is, he's got to win this game. This is a game that I said is almost a must-win. Indianapolis, if they lose this game, they're now looking in for a playoff spot. I mean, they might be as it is anyway. You win this game, Indianapolis is still in that mix. Jacksonville season is over for, by and large. I don't see them going on this ridiculous run. So this becomes an interesting game as well. How about Minnesota-Denver? This line is a 10-point line. It's at 10.5 at BetMGM, 10.5 at CG Technologies. The over-under is 40. Now, I expect Minnesota to win this game, and I don't think anybody doesn't. But there are things to be cautious about in this game and giving 10 points in this game. First of all, Denver's coming off of a bye week. A team coming off of a bye week is always a dangerous situation. That's number one. Number two, Denver is a good defense that if they can control Dalvin Cook, they might be able to make Kirk Cousins make some mistakes. Kirk Cousins also will likely be without Adam Thielen for this game. So you have some things working for you, and then you have an unknown quarterback for Denver. It is difficult for defensive coordinators, and look, you have two different kinds of defenses. You have talented, but poorly coached, or medium coached, we'll say. I don't want to rip anybody apart. And then you have defenses that are really well coached and medium talent. You hardly ever get really talented, really well coached, those are teams that are going to the Super Bowl. Okay? Minnesota is not that. Minnesota has medium talent and really good coaching. Where you can get hurt in that spot is if you don't know how to defend the quarterback that's out there. And Denver is a team that he is an unknown. He's an unknown quarterback playing an unknown offense. This is going to be a defensive game. This is one of these games, guys, where I could either see Denver pulling that shocking, crazy win, or they get blown out of the building. I don't believe in Minnesota. I think they are a paper tiger. I don't believe that Minnesota is anything more than a fringe playoff team. But people are starting to believe into the Minnesota hype. I was surprised to see this line at 10. Not that I'm disagreeing with it, but I was surprised to see it at 10. Off of a bye week, it's just one of those weird situations to see this kind of line. I caution you, pay attention here to the fact that the over-under is 40. The win by 10, I mean, you're basically saying Denver can't score two touchdowns. And if you believe in that Minnesota defense like that, I can't blame you. Look, they have a good defense, but I worry, especially coming off of a bye week. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout, come on back. Still rolling through all of the games. Still also taking all of your phone calls and Twitter interactions. I'm getting them, guys. I'm going to start reading them when you start bringing up good points. Don't be emotional. Come at me with real stats, real numbers, real figures. We'll get into it. All right. We'll come back right after this on Heat Wave Sports.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tom Barton.
Back here on Heat Wave Sports, guys. Tim likes to talk about the toilet bowl game. I think we have the absolute toilet bowl game. The New York Jets against the Washington Redskins tomorrow. The Jets are a 2-point underdog. I'm not sure why the Jets are an underdog. Look, Dwayne Haskins, Washington. Dwayne Haskins has not shown any ability to be a professional NFL quarterback here. Now, I get it. Look, Washington's defense is actually pretty good, and everyone's down on the Jets. I still like generally what the Jets do. I do not like their coaching, but I like generally what the Jets are. I think the Jets have a late season run in them, and I predicted this before last week's game. I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but I do think that this is a very winnable game. I think that's a gift. I'm not saying that the Jets are certainly going to go out there and win out. This isn't my play of the day or anything like that. I think it's a gift to get points with what I consider the better team. I know it's on the road. I'm aware of that. I know that defense that Washington can put forward. I'm aware of that. But Sam Darnold is the better quarterback by far. By far, I think he's the better quarterback. I think the Jets are going to have plenty of success shutting down Adrian Peterson, daring Dwayne Haskins to beat them, and I just don't think that he can. They are in a position here where the over-under set at 38, and that's a lot because of what Dwayne Haskins can't do, not what he can do. I'm looking at the Jets as a live dog tomorrow. Buffalo, Miami, I have been on Buffalo since the preseason. You guys know I picked this Buffalo team to go to the playoffs, and everybody got on my case. They're now sitting at 6-3, and people are starting to doubt him. They're starting to doubt them. They're starting to doubt the Bills. Well, they're not that good. They've only beaten anybody. They haven't done it. Last week was a bad loss. It was a bad loss to a bad Cleveland team. I give you that. But Buffalo, sure, maybe they haven't beaten anybody, but they've also lost to two pretty good teams in New England and Philly, and then last week, bad loss to Cleveland. They are better than Miami. I don't know if they're 7 points better than Miami, though. Just because it's on the road, it's a division game, and the way that Miami is playing. Here's the problem with Miami, though. Good as they are all beat up, guys. Right? You think about their starting defensive backs to start the year. Jones, he's been in and out of the lineup, probably missing tomorrow. Think of Fitzpatrick's playing in Pittsburgh. Xavien Howard, season's over. They don't have that. And then on the offensive side, well, Williams started to look good. What they do? Oh, well, Williams hurt there. They're going to have to put him down for the rest of the year. So this is going to be Redavious White taking away Devontae Parker. But this is a Josh Allen game. Josh Allen has to step up. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league throwing the ball deep. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league when it comes to putting pressure on like that. He's got to start to learn what his strengths are. And his strengths are over the middle, undercutting, Cole Beasley. This is what he's got to do, and we got to see a lot of that tomorrow if Buffalo is going to win and cover that spread. I'm waiting for that Miami team to show up that just gets absolutely slaughtered, and this might be that game. Houston-Baltimore, this is the game of the day on the early slate. Baltimore, 4.5-point favorite. It's risen to 5. Everybody seems to like Baltimore. Look, I think the world of Deshaun Watson. You know, you guys give me on my list of the top 5 5 non-Chicago Bears in the league. Deshaun's probably on that list. I really like this guy. But I hate their offensive line, and I can't stand their secondary. Which makes me all of a sudden turn around and look at Lamar Jackson and I say, Lamar, you gotta win this game with your own. I think Baltimore's going to have some success throwing the ball tomorrow. And that is a statement that I did not believe I would be sitting at talking about this Baltimore team. I think they're going to have some success, and they're going to have some success throwing the ball tomorrow. And throwing the ball is something Lamar Jackson has got to still prove to me that he can do. I'm not sure that he can, but I think tomorrow can prove that. I'm hoping that the guys are going to sit here tomorrow, Tim's going to sit here and talk about how Lamar Jackson was able to show off and showcase his arm against what he's going to have to do against Houston. Houston is still very good defensively at defending the rush. They can't defend the pass. He's going to have to do that tomorrow. How about Arizona, San Francisco? Seems like everyone is loving Arizona here. The line went 14-10. And San Francisco, you want to talk about banged up? Let's talk banged up. Two offensive linemen are banged up. Two very good offensive linemen, by the way, are banged up. Their defense is banged up. Their running backs are banged up. Good thing is that they just have guys in reserve and reserve and reserve. On Arizona's side, this would be a different game if I believed that DJ was healthy, and he's not. Kyler Murray is a fun, and I've talked about this, Kyler Murray is a fun watch. He's a guy that really has me excited as a fan to start rooting for him. I had my doubts against Murray. I did. I wasn't sure Murray could produce at this level, and now all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm going, he is fun. Against this defense, though, I don't know. You know, his numbers didn't look bad from a couple of weeks ago, but he had one big 88-yard pass to Isabella at the end of the game that made this game seem a lot closer than it was. And I think San Francisco's going to remember that, and they're going to want to enforce their will here. San Francisco minus 10, if they were healthy, this is a no-brainer. They're not healthy, and that's a problem. New England, Philly. Very potentially the game of day as well. Philly is on a path here where they are barely clinging to life. But this is a spot where they could all of a sudden turn around from clinging to life to making a statement. Philadelphia can make a statement here. You beat Brady. They're at home. Philadelphia is in a spot, in a very winnable spot. New England is a team that is getting by on their schedule just as much as anybody else, just as much as the Buffaloes of the world. I don't necessarily believe in this defense completely where everybody else is talking about the number one defense, and they were exposed by Baltimore. Good coach against good coach, Super Bowl rematch. You have all of the underlying things. What I think the difference is in this game here is that the Philadelphia defense just doesn't have the speed in the secondary. Their secondary has been exposed all year. They don't have the speed in the secondary to keep up with the crossing routes and the crossing patterns. That doesn't mean that I'm loving this New England team here. That doesn't mean that, but I understand why the line is 4 and rising. Opened up at 3, went to 3.5, it's 4, it's 4.5 in some spots. I understand it, but I think Philly is a dangerous team. Now, Jordan Howard is banged up. That helps New England. There's a lot of things here that help New England. But also, oh, by the way, all over the East Coast, there might be a little bit of snow tomorrow. rain in the forecast in Washington, rain in the forecast in Philly, rain in the forecast on the East Coast. Might turn into a little bit of snow. Who does that help? Well, normally you would think that that would help a Philadelphia team who's been running the ball well, but without Jordan Howard, I think that favors New England as well. So there's a lot of things here that are favoring the New England Patriots that maybe normally wouldn't favor them. Finally, I saved the last late game here, Oakland against Cincinnati, and the world is on Oakland. This line opened up at 8. It is up to 12.5. There's even a 13 out there. There's a 13 at TG Technology. Meanwhile, it stays at 11.5 over at Circus Sports, so you can see the disparity there. Cincinnati's a bad team. We know that. I don't believe that the Oakland Raiders deserve to be a 13-point favorite over anyone. I believe in what Oakland is. I believe in what Oakland has achieved this year. I like Derek Carr. Obviously, I like Jacobs. I'm on record talking about how I thought Gruden would succeed. I like Waller. I like pieces of this Raiders team. I still don't believe that this is a team that you can feel confident laying 13 points in any spot. Now, they're sniffing the playoffs. And Cincinnati's got a backup quarterback. And Cincinnati's playing with backup wide receivers. And Cincinnati's playing with backup defensive players. And I get it. This certainly can be a complete shutout, but I'm not going anywhere near laying 13 points with the Oakland Raiders in any spot at all. I think it's a ridiculous line. I think it's a crazy overreaction to what the Raiders are doing. But then again, I'm not taking Cincinnati. You can't tell me to walk up to the counter and say, yeah, give me Cincinnati. So it's a stay-away game for me here. I think the Raiders certainly win, but I think the Raiders are getting a little bit too much love, and you see the line skyrocketing. The lines makers originally thought 8 was a good number. It's at 13 right now. That is a massive swing. All right. We're going to take a timeout here. We'll come on back, talk about the Sunday night football game. I will give you my best bet as well. All that right after this on Heatwave Sports.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tom Barton.
Back here on Heatwave Sports, Tom Barton. TomBartonSports.com, and we are getting Twitter reactions about my Kaepernick rant, as it's now being called. A lot of positives out there. Thank you to Joe out there. Good stuff tonight, Tom. 100% about Kaepernick. And look, I don't think that it's an opinion anymore. I really don't. I mean, you have your opinion about who Kaepernick is, sure. You have your opinion about the situation that went down. It's no longer really an opinion, is it? That Colin Kaepernick wants to be a distraction? I mean, that's what he is. He's a distraction, guys. By moving the facility today, by shutting down 21 out of the 25 professional teams that wanted to go see him, I mean, even just wearing the T-shirt, why would you do that if you wanted a job? Now, I did get some Twitter feedback. Oh, well, you just want to conform to the man. Let me tell you something. We all conform to the man, all right? By waking up and paying bills and going to work, you conform to the man. It's called being an adult. It's called being alive in the United States in 2019. It's called reality. Reality is, you got to pay your bills. You need a job to do that. We all conform to the man. The guy that is, you know, a guy that's sitting there working in an office cubicle, you don't think he wants to wear flip-flops and drink a margarita at noon? Guess what you can't do? Can't do that at work. You have to conform to the man. So let's get past that conforming garbage. I heard that quite a few times. Well, he doesn't want to be told what to do. Then he's not going to work in this business. Even people that work for themselves, I own 3 businesses, guys. I own 3. I do not have a boss. I haven't had a boss for a decade. I own three different businesses. Guess what? I still have to conform even owning my own businesses. I have to work with vendors. I have to work with advertising agencies. I have to work with syndicators. I have to do that. I have to work for customers. TomBartonSports.com does not exist for a decade if I don't give superior service to customers. Customer asks me something. If a client asks me something, he's now my boss, per se. We all have to do it. Wearing a Kunta Kinte t-shirt, wearing pig socks, these are our problem areas. These are areas you're trying to cause issues with. So all the support in the world with Colin Kaepernick and all these players that are supporting, all these other athletes, LeBron James supporting, there's one thing to say, hey, man, I'm supporting you because I want you to work, and you've told me you want to go to work. You've told me you want to go and get a job. But when you see these kind of antics, you can no longer defend them. You can no longer defend Colin Kaepernick. Sorry, you sound silly. You sound ignorant if you defend Colin Kaepernick at this point. And I'm not calling you an idiot. I'm calling you ignorant. You're ignorant on a subject, you're ill-informed on the subject, or you have a bias, a basis that you're going on that is not reality. There's a lot of that going on in America today, right? In political form, and now in sports form. A lot of people that have made up their opinions on biases, and a lot of that has generally no bearing on anything. And we're sitting here during, not to get political, but we're sitting here dealing with an impeachment hearing where the number one witness says, no, I did not see any kind of crime. Yet we're still having them. The biases are being made up. The biases are already there. If Colin Kaepernick went out there, and you have biases on both sides, if Colin Kaepernick went out there and slung it around the field, and looked really good, and aced his interviews, there would be people on the other side of the bias saying, it doesn't matter. He should never play again. There would be that. Okay? There would be that side of this. You have both sides of biases. I'm not telling you that it's a one-way street. It's absolutely not a one-way street. But to defend Colin Kaepernick after the antics today, I'm trying to use a nice word saying the antics. To defend Colin Kaepernick after antics today is ridiculous. So I'm glad you guys took to Twitter, took to Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter and supported me and my position that I don't really think is an opinion at this point. By the way, before we go into the Sunday night game, TomBartonSports.com, guys, go jump on board. Unlike all these other guys out there, I've had a show on now for 2 hours. Haven't screamed and yelled about my record. Haven't told you I got the game at a lock or a week or whatnot. All I'm telling you is, hey man, I'm doing pretty good in the NFL this year. That's what I'm telling you. I'm doing pretty good in the NFL this year. I mean, just under 60%. 24-17 on the year. I don't give out a lot of plays. I do have a big board tomorrow. I usually give out, listen, 24-17, you can see. I usually give out about three plays a weekend in the NFL. I have five plays tomorrow. I have one underdog. I have one total, and I have three other plays. I'm going to give you a play here in a moment. But first, let's get into this Sunday night game. I'm a Bears fan, and a piece of me wants to believe in the Bears, but I just can't. And it's not Mitchell Trubisky, and it's not all his fault. I believed from the very beginning that Matt Nagy and his quirky offense was just too much for Trubisky to handle right away. Maybe he'd be okay down the road. And I saw him scale it back last week, and I saw Trubisky have some success. But I'm more concerned with the defense. This is a defense that Khalil Mack is now getting criticism, and rightfully so. I started criticizing Khalil Mack 3 weeks ago. Finally, the Chicago sports media is starting to criticize Khalil Mack. When has he dominated the game? When has he taken over the game? When has he become the man? How about this being the game? You know, 6.5 points seems like a lot of points when you go over the idea that Coleman, Shelton, Austin, Kubert, Jamil Demby, Bobby Evans. Four, out of those four guys, two of them are going to be starting on the offensive line against the Khalil Mack. Jared Goff looks rattled. Todd Gurley looks lost out there. I mean, that's what we're looking at, guys. It's not a good scene. It's not a good situation for the Rams. It's not a good scene. It's not a good situation for the Bears. This is a game, guys, that I think ends their season. And when I say their season, I don't know who I mean. I sort of believe that the Bears' season is already over. I already have pronounced them dead. A win here, well, that could save their season. They could go on that run. The NFC is kind of wide open, but there's only one spot. Seattle's going to get that first wild card spot. So the Bears are going up against Minnesota. That seems like a tough road to go up against. They seem like they're out in front. Bears are still there with Carolina. Tampa Bay believes they have a hope. Dallas and Philly, whoever loses that division, have a hope. The Bears lose, their season's over. If the Rams lose, I believe their season's over as well. You can't lose at home to the Bears on Sunday night. You can't do that. So this is a really important game for both teams. Both teams, it's important. I think defenses absolutely shine in this one. This is a game where I expect Trubisky to struggle all game. I think the running game will struggle. But laying 6.5 with a dysfunctional Rams team against a Bears defense that could control the game and take over the game, I think 6.5 is too much. Just too many points. If this is a 3.5 point line, it makes sense. I think 6.5 is built in a little bit to people just going, the Bears stink. All right, let's get into my play of the day. Like I said, I have an underdog on my board that is going to win outright. I don't need the points. I have an outright money line underdog on my board for TomBartSports.com members tomorrow. I have four other plays. You want my plays? You know, I am looking at just situations, and this is my total on the board. It's going to be my play tomorrow. I look at situations, but I encompass everything into it. I encompass where are they playing, how are they playing, what is the emotional state. One of the injuries, and this game has a little bit of all of that, and I'm talking about Tampa Bay against New Orleans. The Saints' offense was dreadful last week. They were out of sync against a really bad Atlanta defense. Well, now they face a really bad Tampa Bay secondary. They rank 30th in the league on their secondary. They're bad. Drew Brees and Michael Thomas have got to have a field day here. They can't run the ball, and we don't know how healthy Kamara is going to be. This is a Drew Brees and Michael Thomas game. Luckily for the Saints, they like that. They want that. But on the other side, Tampa Bay can also push the ball downfield. No Lattimore. He's huge. Winston's going to throw, and he's going to throw all day. They don't want to run. They don't even try to run. This has the makings of an over. The over-under set at 49.5, even at a 50. I think this is shootout city. I know it's outside. I feel a lot better if it was in the dome. Yeah, this would be an upper-level play if it was in the dome. But being outside, I still like it. That's my best bet of the week. I think that we are, that's my free play, I should say, not my best bet. It's more my free play of the week to you guys. I think we could convincingly say that this is going to be a shootout. I think both teams get into the 30s, and this is something right along the lines of Drew Brees throwing four touchdowns, Jameis Winston throwing four touchdowns, you know, and we're looking at a 30-34 type of game. I think we can get to that level. All right, real quick, before we go, I just want to mention two things. First of all, the Clippers, what a display tonight, 150 points. They destroyed the Hawks, 150-101. And just to give you an idea, the Hawks play the Lakers tomorrow in a back-to-back. The Hawks are, the Lakers are minus 1,100 on the money line. I mean, wow. And a little bit of good news to end all this off, and everyone's concerned about Kaepernick and this and that. Well, we had the first woman coach in the NBA last night because Greg Popovich and his big mouth got thrown out of the game. And the first woman coach came in. She was the best coach. She came in to coach, and good for her. Hey, applause all around. I've always said, I don't really care what color you are, what gender you are. None of that matters to me. If you could coach, go out there and win games if you could coach. And I don't think it's going to be a long time before we see not one but multiple women standing on the sidelines in an NBA game. I really do. I believe that we're not that far away from that being the case. And tonight was, it's kind of swept under the rug. It's kind of one of those stories that nobody will talk about tomorrow because Kaepernick is huge. It happened on a Saturday with college football. Tomorrow, all of a sudden, the news cycle is going to be the NFL, and you're going to get to it. And today will be a day that's forgotten, but today will be one of those historic days that we're going to look back on at some point, the next 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is, I'm going to say, remember that day. So just a quick nod to Becky Hammon out there, who gets, I know it was only temporary, only half a game, but hey, she went out there and she coached, and that's kind of cool. All right, guys. Tomorrow night, Tim will be back here for a three-hour version of Heatwave Sports. Go over everything that happened on Sunday. Enjoy your NFL Sunday. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Go check it out. It's TomBartonSports.com. Have a good night, Las Vegas.